this is a holistic way to experience yourself and your energy through aesthetic, and how that can really support you in a way that isn't just hiding or flaunting or whatever it may be, and how you can kind of navigate that next chapter of your life.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Well, I'm excited to get right into today's guest. Any of you New Yorkers who came out to the speaking event on my speaking tour this last year, you got to taste a bit of Suzanne Merrick. She is our guest today. She did a guided meditation along with the founder of Rosebud CBD to kick off that event. And I think everybody is going to love this one. So she's an aura reader and a wardrobe stylist and founder of AuraWear NYC. She's a Brooklyn-based New York stylist, and we have a really crazy way that we actually connected. Goop has used her a lot in the past, both for events and in-store in New York to do aura readings, stylist readings. And so I happened to last summer be in New York, and I always stay sort of in the Bowery District, and I popped over and I was like, oh, I should check out the Goop store. I've never been into one. And when I walked in, she was in there. And so we really hit it off, and I loved her ability to see auras. She also analyzes the energy in order to help her clients look and feel their best by using the healing powers of color, which is so different, I think, than anything else I've experienced in the wellness realm. And from a young age, she also began seeing bright glows around her family and friends. But it was only when she saw her first gray aura that she realized these colors told a story about a person's well-being, which is really interesting because you learn right in the beginning that she grew up in a very religious family where this wasn't really totally fostered. It was, but it wasn't. So as she deepened her studies and her spirituality, she began to see auras more vividly that seemed to expose people's thoughts and their emotions. She conducts everything from mini readings, makeovers, workshops, and closet overhauls to photo shoots and brand consulting for emerging designers. I really love, too, during COVID, she really stepped up to support people. Well, she did these mini 25-minute sessions for people just to really, really support whatever was coming up for them in the many different ways that each of us have been affected in the spectrum of COVID. And I thought that was so beautiful of her. Her energy is so contagious. She's obviously a generator. So let's get right into this episode and hear it all from her. Well, let's kick in. I'm excited.
Me too.
Okay, great. Well, the question I kick off with everybody is, give us your cultural background and upbringing.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I have kind of an interesting background story. So I am one of six kids. I am the daughter of a minister, and I grew up actually in Fort Worth, Texas, and we were all homeschooled because my mother was like uber religious, and we were actually part of this homeschool group called ATIA, and in the last couple of years, they've actually been in the news for their very extreme kind of conservative views, and the main guy who was ahead of this group was like basically accused of like sexual harassment and molestation and all of this stuff. I actually was very fortunate to never be, quote, one of his girls.
Oh,
yeah. So this was kind of the experience I had as a child. And I grew up around seminaries and campuses because my father got his doctorate in Christian education and religion and basically spent all of my childhood up until high school, traveling around. My father would get placed in a new church, and then we move. So we moved from Texas to St. Louis to Kansas City, where I lived until I was in high school. And finally, I actually begged my parents in ninth grade, 2 weeks after school had started, to put me in high school.
And wow.
Because I couldn't play soccer with my friends anymore, and I wanted to do theater, and they've caved, but I ended up starting school about 2 weeks late than everybody else. And like, on top of that, being a freshman, it was just like so crazy.
Wow. There's so much to unpack in all this. Whoa. Okay. Number one, I mean, do you still align with many of the beliefs that you were raised with?
I would say that's a no, but mostly because of those beliefs at that time, it was very extreme. I do believe in, higher power and God and things like that. But those beliefs at a time were very much set in place to be as rules and basically as control. And it really messed with my head as a kid, for sure. And actually, my father was never really fully on board with it. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to hear all this. But he never was really fully on board with it, because he was a youth minister in the 80s and like considered to be a little bit more progressive than most of the conservative churches we were in. And I remember, my parents were very down low about it all, because my mom really loved the group of women. And again, I still keep in contact with some of those people from my childhood and even some of my mother's friends. And a lot of them actually did get out of ATIA at that time. But it was like really extreme. Like, I remember when I was a kid, they had a big conference in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the University of Tennessee. And every year we'd go to this big conference, and people would bring their motorhomes and, camp, and they'd have the girls would actually go into their own separate area, and the boys would go into another separate area. And the boys were like basically like Boy Scouts. And then the girls were like, we made a giant quilt. We made like the world's biggest quilt in this time. So we were all broken into little groups. And I mean, there were thousands of us. And we were broken into these little groups and made to sew. And I remember very vividly, I maybe was like 8 or 9. I had gone shopping, because you had to wear a uniform. You had to wear a white blouse with a navy skirt and a navy bow like around your neck.
Wow.
Jeez. And it was like real intense. And the boys had to wear like little uniforms.
So obviously, my very next question would be, and I think this will kick off quite a bit, you learned at a very young age that you could see orbs and read auras, or what you then would realize would be reading auras. How did that all play? Because my mom grew up in an incredibly religious household, and she's gifted in every way, shape, and form, like medium, the whole thing. And that was considered very bad. That was evil. That was the devil. And so that, amongst many things, I think have contributed to her addiction. How were you received, or did you communicate this? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So the funniest part is that, like, my joke is always my dad. My mom would always like grab me and be really intense and be like, you have these gifts. And it always frightened me as a kid. And my dad was very matter of fact about it. I remember once I was like, Dad, I see colors around people. I experience, like, sometimes it's like I experience these things about them. And my dad was just very much like, oh yeah, Jesus had an aura. That's considered an aura. Like, very matter of fact. And I have some really interesting experiences that I remember as a child. Like, one specifically where I was like in my car seat. I couldn't have been but like 4 years old. And we had, in Texas, it was very hot. And we had this Toyota 1986 minivan. I don't know if you remember those.
I think I do. They're pretty cool, like retro things now. I think hipsters drive them now.
Yeah, totally. But this is like our family car. And it got so hot, the windows actually bubbled. And they, that kind of film that's on it to kind of the UV ray film, my dad ended up taking it off. And I remember sitting in my car seat and like staring out the window and seeing this like floating orb coming towards me. And I remember getting into just like this most relaxed state and just loving it and loving the experience and feeling so tranced in my car seat. And it came closer and closer. And the more it came closer, the more I felt like just kind of like enthralled by this thing. And the older I got, I kind of chalked it up. It was like, oh, I was staring at the sun, but obviously you can't stare at the sun. And so there's a lot of experiences I had like this and other experiences where I would get myself out of difficult situations. Like, you know, when you have six kids, like you're all over the place, you know, it's hard to keep track of everybody and what they're doing. And, you know, I would come back and I would tell my mom, oh, I experienced this or that. And she, you know, sometimes she'd be like, oh, you're nuts. Don't be crazy. And then things would kind of unfold. So that person wasn't good, or they ended up doing this or that, or they got kicked out of the church or whatever. And so I was always like heightenedly aware of people and their essence and their energy. But I think most of the time when I was in high school, I just kind of like questioned it and just canceled it out in my mind. Like, oh, you know, that's not true. You didn't do that. You don't, that's not part of you. Your rational brain just made that up. It was your imagination. And I got to college and I went to art school in Savannah, Georgia. And it was kind of like the first time I really met my people. I just got more comfortable. I'd have a couple of drinks at parties and I'd be like, oh, let me like read your aura. And I didn't really fully know what that meant. Maybe I read it a couple books, but that was kind of it. And then people would be like, oh, like that actually was really helpful. Thank you.
Wow. Like, oh. And your brothers, because you have five brothers, right? Do they share your gifts?
My brothers are all uber sensitive. And it's interesting because being the only girl, you're often kind of like prompted with the question of, you know, your brothers must be so tough and protect you. And while that is true to some aspects, like actually all of my brothers are like musicians or creatives or like very, just always have been highly sensitive. But because of that, always kind of hid. They have a little bit harder time communicating sometimes. Not all of my brothers, of course, but you know, that was something that was a big part of our childhood. And now as adults, you know, they're all running their own businesses and doing their own things and like raising families. And I was like the only one that actually kind of like really went off and like set a course on my own. I like moved to New York right after school. I like went on my own and was by myself all that time, you know, and they were like, no, maybe I'll move to Nashville or maybe I'll move to Houston.
So they stayed pretty much the South in the course. So I think you've mentioned before that you're clairaudient, you're clairvoyant. I think everybody has gifts. I think everybody on the planet does. It's just, I mean, if you just get down to simple science, we're all animals and we have instinct, right? So if we can even just boil it to that. So I like to help people recognize if they know they may, but they don't know how to put their finger on it. How do yours come through to you? What do they feel like when you are clairaudient? What does that sound like? What are your visions when you're clairvoyant, to help other people recognize their gifts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I certainly am right there with you. I really believe we all have these gifts and we all have the ability to access these gifts and to use them and really use them for a greater good ultimately. But for me, you know, it's interesting. I always say I will be a forever student of this work. And one of the biggest downloads I got when I first started AuraWare was that I can't be too like rigid on what the outcome is, or like I can't just like pick a path and go. I need to be open and willing to try things. And I knew I was on open territory. And even as I've progressed with my sessions over the years, you know, I've really started to follow my heart and follow my gifts and honor that. And sometimes it's just a ping, as you say, or something that just kind of like really leads you in that direction and opens that up. But for me personally, it took a lot of studying and then practicing. I always say it's like a muscle. You really have to flex it. You have to use it. You have to tune in. You have to practice. And setting intentions around it is so, so important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think even when I started to develop mine, I just also, they're the more abstract ones.
What are yours?
So I'm claircognizant, which I think is the most abstract and hardest one of all. So I just know things.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's, you know, I'm not seeing, I'm not hearing, I'm not feeling. I do have those. They're much more minor. Mine is just a knowing. So it's like when I'm speaking to someone, I'll know every move they need to take or what's blocking them, or it's just a knowing. And it's like, it pops into my head and I know it. I'm so lazy at this point that I know I can just, I like tune into a different space and I don't have to do anything. I can be on autopilot and I know it. And so that's part channeling, part the claircognizance. And then I also can read energy. So it's another abstract one, right? Like I know if this moves, this will follow, this will fill its space, or you can take that move and it'll go here. So it's like anything that's happening energetically, I can read it, but I don't see it. I don't hear it. I just know it. So it's very, very bizarre and abstract. And I get very jealous of my mom who will be on a walk, you know, on the river in our hometown where the retreat house is. And she'll be like, oh, do you see the indigenous man there? His name's blah, blah, blah. She'll be like, in my dream last night, this happened about you and it comes true. She has like, she can really see and feel and hear. So I'm always jealous of, not jealous. It just took me a lot longer to refine and listen to my gifts.
Yeah, that's definitely very similar. Your mother sounds a lot like my mother. You know, for me, it's really been about kind of just navigating through them. Clairsentience is a big part of reading auras and energy. It's, you know, I always say it's a little bit different for everyone. And that's what's so interesting, because we really are kind of on the front form of understanding it in the modern times and how it plays. And I always say, you know, I don't think it's going to be weird in a couple decades to be an intuitive stylist or an intuitive hairdresser or doctor. You know, I just think that that's going to be so much embedded in our culture, and it's going to be a way for us to communicate and connect on a deeper level.
Oh yeah. I'm just waiting for us all to operate on telepathy. I mean, come on, we're so close.
We're almost there. So close. Yeah. But I just think that, you know, one of my biggest things is when I meet with women, when I do experience that energy, maybe, I don't know about you, but I always am like, okay, you have these gifts and you've already been flexing them and they just need a little bit of coaxing. Like, you know, because some people need to really like kind of sit with that information and explore, but some people are just innately doing it.
I agree. That's exactly. I feel the same way. And that is like another thing about me that I'm really grateful for, is I don't have any judgment on if it's right, wrong, sideways, yeah. Not. It's to the person, to the individual. Why do you think your soul chose to come through that experience and upbringing?
You know, I really believe in free will and, you know, experiences, and whether this is my experiences for this life to teach me for the next, who knows? But, you know, I really try to focus on being present. And one of the things that I really have taken away from my childhood experiences is that my mother really did genuinely want the best, and she genuinely wanted us to have this really straight and narrow and good childhood. And she's human and made some choices that weren't necessarily the best for us, but ultimately I have such compassion for her, because my mother actually was diagnosed with MS when she was 27 years old. So she was really young. She had already had two kids at that point. I mean, she met my dad, you know, when they were like 18 and 21. And I think maybe even three kids at that point, I think. But anyways, she was told to not have any more children. And I remember she would always say to me, you know, my dream in life is to have a big family and to have kids and to, you know, and all I ever wanted was a little girl. And it took her four tries to have me. And they told her not to have any more kids after the first three. And she just continued to have kids. She had three more of us. So I know a lot of that had to do with her progressing in her MS very quickly. And my mother had like a very interesting progressive MS. Like most people now that have MS, you know, they can take medications, they have things that you can do to kind of slow down the disintegration of your body, essentially. But at that time, they didn't. And so I have some vivid memories of my mom walking when I was about 6 years old, but that's kind of the last memories I had. And a lot of things started to really change around that time, because my mom started to get sick. And essentially, us kids became caretakers, because we were homeschooled and we were home. And the age gap, you know, there's 20 years between my oldest brother and my youngest brother. And so my oldest brother almost became like a second dad. You know, he moved back home at that time, I remember. And, you know, we all started to kind of have to grow up pretty quickly. And I was just actually just saying to my husband, like, I've been super triggered by COVID. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact that there was a lot of uncertainty as a child, like a lot of things around, like mom would go to the hospital. We wouldn't know how long mom would be there. And sometimes it would be like up to 6 weeks. And that uncertainty is like very deeply ingrained in me. And like life has been pretty awesome in the last couple of years. I can't wait to unfold with you. But like just going through this experience has been like a little bit gut-wrenching.
Yeah, absolutely. That uncertainty and that unknown, when is the bottom going to fall out from under me? And
yeah,
it's huge. And I'm just so grateful that you're here to support so many people during this time. I mean, I saw it pretty early on, but you offered at the time those 25-minute sessions just to be accessible and to be there for people. And that's really beautiful. And it, I'm sure, comes from this role of your upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt very, you know, I've been so fortunate this last couple of years to be able to do the things that I've done and the companies I've gotten to work with, and something in me, you know, several events got canceled. And usually at these events, I get to meet so many people and to share with them. And I just knew, I was like, oh, this is like going to be so difficult for me. I need to find a way to be able to do this, but also to extend support and just, you know, be a sounding board for people and to have a moment to just be seen and experienced and connect and get a little clarity. And the most rewarding part of those 20-minute readings was like people would get on and their energy would be pretty low. And then, you know, by the end, as I'm logging off the call, their smiles would be lit up. And it just like made me so happy to be able to bring them a moment of joy in this time. And, you know, despite the fact that I'm feeling this uncertainty around it, one of the things that was really big with our family was truly kind of persevering and looking forward and calling in joy and really seeing the bright side of things. And if you meet anybody in my family, it's like you meet them and you're like, oh, you're definitely a Merrick. Like, we're all just kind of like really super happy people, laid back, very lighthearted. And I think a lot of that just comes from our experiences and how we really always tried to take the higher road.
Beautiful. I want to segue into AuraWare because it's such a cool concept. You know, I've never heard of this before. And I think it's really expansive how you've created this around your gifts and you've pioneered and tied things together. And it'll allow me to segue into quite a few Aura questions. So give us the genesis and the background of AuraWare.
So AuraWare happened because a lot of things happened in my life. I was an actor and performer for many years. I did Broadway and national tours, and it was very much a part of my identity. And I essentially kind of got to this point where I just wasn't loving it, but of course, like not wanting to admit it to myself because it was my essence, I thought. And I wasn't auditioning. I wasn't doing anything like I thought. And then we went through the loss of my mom 3 years ago. And after that, you know, whenever you lose a parent, I'm sure many people on here can relate to this, but whenever you lose a parent, there's like this invisible, you know, kind of protection around you is just kind of gone. And you do really have this sense of mortality in a way like you've never experienced. And I really just started to navigate it and I let it consume me. And then someone gave me some really good advice about grief and really walking through grief. And, you know, it sometimes it does feel like a bottomless pit, but you know, through that process, I was really able to heal and see myself and experience myself in a way that I never honestly thought was possible for myself. And so many things started to reveal themselves and I started to honor myself and what I wanted and what I desired. And I started to realize, you know, acting is not a part of my identity anymore. And that's okay. Like, but what is? And it kind of felt like so exciting. You know, I had tons of little jobs. I'm sure you can relate, Lacey, like all of the little side hustles.
Yeah.
And I did styling on this side, personal stuff. Yeah, I did some editorial stuff here and there, freelance when I wasn't performing. And I was like, I really love that. And, you know, I started to try to do it again here, trying to figure myself out. I was nannying, babysitting. I mean, it was just like, you would have thought I had like a midlife crisis a little late, or a little early. That's what I meant to say. Anyways, I was doing these things and I essentially got a client and I went and I cleaned out her closet and she wasn't having it. She was having a really hard time. She just had surgery. She'd gotten out of a relationship, lost her job, like all of these things. And I get in and I'm like trying to bring the joy. We're cleaning out the closet and like nothing is making this client happy. And, you know, I tried and then I left and I just left feeling so depleted and just like awful. And at the same time, I was also really dipping into kind of my spiritual gifts again and things were starting to come out. And I took a side job working at a church because I needed insurance. like my music teacher's wife ran the children's program at this church, and they're like, do you want to take it? You can have insurance.
And you're like, yep,
you can work from home. And I was like, great. Yeah. What do I need to do? They're like, you need to coordinate about 50 volunteers and take care of 75 children.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, but I only have to work on Sundays. Perfect. So I took this job. And while I took this job, I actually got my prophecy given to me. Do you know what that is?
No.
So, and it's really funny because I grew up in a church that was very like, you learn the theology, you practice the Bible, you stay on the straight and narrow, but you don't mess with anything spiritual. It's too fine of a line and you don't dance it. It was just like, you know, no like dancing with snakes kind of stuff. I was Southern Baptist, so it's like a little bit different, like very like you don't dance, you don't do anything, you don't wear something past your knees kind of thing. But so this church was like very spiritual, it was non-denominational, like the pastor was an ex-Phillies Flyer hockey player, like such a bizarre church. And I love, and everybody there was really nice and lovely. And they were like, oh, you're a new pastor here, you're a children's pastor, so you get your prophecy given. So I had my prophecy given to me and I was really freaked out, to be honest. I was like, I don't know if I want this done. They're like, no, it's a blessing. Just let it happen. And so this was a head pastor that had come from like North Carolina or something to be there that week to preach. I had never met him. He didn't know who I was. And they brought me into a room with him, with the other pastors. And I sat down and he just started unfolding my life in this way. And he was channeling these beautiful messages. And he said, what does the name Rebecca mean to you? And I was like, that's wow. I was like, that's my middle name. And it was just like these really beautiful messages. And he's like, you know, your mother, and this was like right before my mother even, I think, passed, like right before. And he like revealed all this stuff about my spiritual gifts. And he was like, you're supposed to be working with women to, you know, support them and all this stuff. And I walked away just being kind of super freaked out. Like, oh my God, what else did he see about me? Because I've been a horrible person in the last few years.
only people who grew up really religious say that always because of the shame component. You're like, I've been bad.
So much shame. And, you know, as I walked away, all the pastors like gathered around. They're like, oh, this is so wonderful. Wonderful. You have the gift of prophecy. And they prayed this prayer over me. And I'm just like, oh my God, what the hell is going on?
Meanwhile, everybody in New York listening is like, how do I get that job? For insurance only working on Sundays.
Right? And your prophecy given to you? Yeah, like, sign totally. Me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then they were like, we're going to send you to these conferences and yada yada. And I was like, thanks, but no thanks. And then after that, truly is when stuff just started to happen.
It opened it up again. It
opened it up. And I would like kind of dip back and forth. And at some point, there was a situation where I knew that my friend was going to have a loss. And like the message I got was very clear. It was like, she's going to have a loss and it's going to be physical. And of course, my human brain was like, oh my God, she's going to have MS, like my mom, or maybe she's got cancer, or like, you know, just. And I remember in that moment being like, just let it go. Like, just let it go. And sure enough, several weeks later, story unfolds, you know, she ended up having a miscarriage. And I asked her just out of nowhere, I was like, oh, when are you guys going to have another baby? Are you planning on having another baby? And she's like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then of course that week she kind of revealed to me that they had a miscarriage. And at that point I was like, okay, like why did I have this information? Like, what's the point, you know? And so I actually went to one of the pastors at that time and I said, you know, what's the deal? Like, okay, I all these things are happening. I'm experiencing this and that. And I was like, I experience aura as an energy. Like, it was kind of one of the first times I admitted it out loud. And of course, like I had friends and family that did know, but like at the church, you know, and they were like, oh, that's great. And he was like, Susanna, your gift is encouragement. Like, you're meant to encourage people. You're actually meant to tell her that. And I was like, what? Why would I tell her that? And he's like, you know, she needs to know that God was with her. And of course, I ended up telling her and she cried and she said, you know, it's so weird. Like, my partner and I, we had such peace after that week. And I never thought I could ever overcome something like that. And it really is just heartwarming to hear that. And, you know, I kind of walked away feeling, okay, like maybe I can do this thing. I ended up actually leaving the job at that church, really started to figure out what I wanted to do. And I remember just like being like, you know what? Okay. If this is what I'm supposed to do, I just, you know, kind of like in Christianity, you like prayer to like be forgiven of your sins kind of thing. And I just kind of in the same aspect, I was just like, all right, if I'm supposed to do this, open it up. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go full throttle.
Yeah, and literally just everything unfolded after that moment. I got these beautiful visions of like what my business would be. And I always knew it was going to be like this umbrella, a collective of like a women's collective of brands and things. And everything just started to unfold. And books like literally would like land in my lap. I would just go places and be like, I want to look up something on color engine. Boom. Books on spirituality and color and this. And I just became a student and really gathered all this knowledge and started to just connect the dots. That's kind of how Auraware was ultimately born. But I always have left a little space for it to continue to grow and change. And I try not to hang on to things too tightly.
As an entrepreneur, I think that's so important because you're constantly evolving and changing.
Yeah. I mean, in like the aspect of, it's interesting. So Auraware is all about, you know, using color to medicinally heal yourself, really tapping into who you are and finding your aesthetic through that. You know, I always was a very expressive person on the outside with the way I dressed, but it didn't always align with what was going on inside of me. And I always had a little bit of trouble, like even though I was very expressive and social, I always had a little bit of trouble communicating how I was feeling. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, back to my childhood when, you know, you kind of like your feelings kind of got put on the back burner. There were other important things to deal with. And my parents are obviously very big on service and like giving and like Jesus and da, 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 but almost to a default. Like, I do think it's really important to serve your gifts and put them forward, but there was a disconnect in yourself. That really is kind of what drove me to ultimately kind of unfold this business where I'm holding space for women, letting them be seen and experienced through my spiritual gifts, giving them that experience, and then helping guide them to where, you know, what makes them feel good, what lights them up, what connects them to their personal style, and what, you know, what colors they can be wearing at each season.
I'm going to segue for 1 minute because I think it's important and we get this question all of the time. Firstly, I'm so sorry that you lost your mom. I didn't know that.
It's okay. I always just say it's a club we all join at some point.
Yeah, I think you expressed it well. And I've heard from other friends that it's the first time you ever feel like an adult. Like you said, the invisible protection feels like it's gone. Grief, you know, that is a huge, huge loss to go through. What were the biggest things that helped you through grief?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, really, first of all, walking through it is so important. You know, I think old me would have tried to stuff things down. I'm really big on, you know, the radiation, the physical energy that's around you, right? It's not enough to actually kill us, but it's radiation that comes out of our body, electric magnetic energy. But then there's also what we believe to be our spirit or our soul, our emotions. And I believe that these two things are very intertwined. And what can happen with grief a lot of times is that we stuff things down and we subconsciously don't even deal with those emotions. And I always say what goes in must come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do believe there is some serious science behind the connection of our physical bodies and our emotions and our energy, whether that's hormones or, you know, our cells holding memories or whatever it be. There's a giant connection there. And so one of the biggest things for me when I was walking through grief and when I was doing all of those things was just to really like let it come over me and not, and like give space for myself if I needed to grieve. So if that meant like, I mean, I think I still have it on my phone, but I have like a playlist. It's like Missing My Mama playlist, you know, and I just would put it on and I cry and I'd let it out. Or like, I think my husband, you know, he knows I did this, but for many nights, I just wake up and I cry and I would go watch, you know, her memorial video or just let it out. And then, you know, and then take some Advil and like go back to bed. But I think those moments of walking through it, like my day would feel fresh the next day. I started to see things in life differently. It really truly was the reason I honestly was able to manifest. And I laugh because I knew about you. And I think we talked about this the other day. I knew about you, but it was like forever ago when you first got started and I started to go through this process of grief and like dealing with emotions and dealing with my childhood things. And I like started to get back into your work because someone mentioned your name and then I saw you, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah, that was crazy.
crazy, but the dots I connected to what I was already innately doing, I was like, oh my God, I'm like doing Lacey's work. And wow. I didn't even realize. And so then I was able to really use your work in the last year. And it's insane the things that I have manifested. I just like, it blows my mind.
Well, what I love about what you said about that is that I think as humans, it's sort of a natural process if we're not conditioned to look at those things and feel things fully. I think that's why we even have the mechanisms to do so. However, I think there's a lot of cultural, I mean, just so many aspects that have asked us to hide it and stuff it down and not deal with it or think to the positive. And I think just what you were talking about is really beautiful. You really felt everything fully and gave yourself space to do that. And I think that's massive. I think there's no other way out than through usually. And so what a great expander to share that. So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to tell you about something super exciting that's been in the works for a little bit. It's called the Basics Bundle. It's the foundational tools of manifestation. This 3-workshop bundle includes How to Manifest, Unblocked Inner Child, and Unblocked Shadow. And these 3 universal courses lay the foundation for your manifestation practice, which will help you get acquainted with our concepts and philosophy. So with this bundle, you can expect to learn our unique manifestation process and our big syllabus of terminology, especially if you're just tuning into this podcast. It sounds like we've made up our own language. You'll also look at all of the limiting beliefs that you picked up in childhood, and you'll learn to reprogram them through neuroscience-based hypnosis exercises. And last but not least, you'll look at the rejected aspects of yourself that you've kept hidden to stay quote unquote lovable. You'll reclaim them and integrate them to become the most magnetic and authentic version of yourself. So we used to sell How to Manifest, Unblocked Inner Child, and Unblocked Shadow as all standalone products, which valued up to $431. And then we went, hey, wait, we really want people to already have the subconscious priming to project and truly know how to manifest. The Basics Bundle is just $295 if you use the code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, you'll receive $20 off your purchase. You can find that at howtomanifest.com or check the link below in the show notes. Now back to the episode. Let's talk about how we ran into each other. So random.
Yes, it's so great. I mean, I fully still can't process. Like, it's so interesting. So I know, so I basically, I was working at Goop at that time. I was doing several events for them and, you know, getting to travel, and it was so exciting. It felt so, I mean, I just thought I like hit the jackpot. I was like, there's nothing better that can happen after this. They're flying me everywhere. I went to Nantucket, which I was like, for me growing up on, you know, with 6 kids and $20,000 a year, like that was a big deal.
Oh yeah. Huge expander.
Huge. And, you know, so I was just, everything was connecting and happening. And I met this really great girlfriend, and she has this company called Rosebud CBD. And Alexis, you know, Alexis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for anybody who was at the New York event, you got to both experience both of you guys, the product and your meditation.
Yeah. So she became a great, just supportive, awesome, like entrepreneurial girlfriend and like expander for me as well. And any rate, she was like, have you heard of Lacey Phillips? I just downloaded her work and I think you would really like it. And I go, you know, it's interesting. Somebody else this week also mentioned her name to me, like was like another healer or something. And I was like, that's so strange you say that. And then I heard your name like one more time. I don't even remember where. And I, at that point I was like, okay, universe, like why? What's going on? So then I like downloaded like one of your classes, and I was like looking into you. I started listening to your podcast, and I was like, wow, I like her. I align with this. And everything that you had to say was just so, I was like, this is just extra support. And this just really expands me. And it really aligns with what I'm trying to do with color medicinally. And at any rate, I had that week. And you literally, I had sessions, and I was sitting in a session, and you walked through the door of the Bond Street store.
Yeah. It was great.
It was so what, wait, I would love to know how you ended up there.
Oh yeah. I forget why I was in New York. I went quite a few times last year. It must've been something I was doing there, an event, or maybe I might've actually just gone for Max's birthday. And we always stay at the Bowery. So you were right there. And I hadn't seen the store. I'd walked by 3 times and been like, oh, I've got to check that out before I go. And we just got back from Montauk and we were literally catching a flight later. And I was like, oh, I've got to go check it out. And you were there. And it was so meant to be.
It really was. Well, it's funny because you came in and I had this full body experience where I was like, well, like this is supposed to happen. And I feel very much like visions were just flashing, and it was very overwhelming because I was also holding space for someone. And she's become a dear client now, and she laughs too because she knows kind of my journey with this as well. And I remember you were walking around, and at some point I was like, I have to stop you. Like I had to stop you. And I just stopped like my client kindly before he walks out the door, and I was like, hi, sorry, are you Lacey Phillips?
It was great. And it was so meant to be because, you know, when the New York event did come around, had I not known you, I wouldn't have suggested that you hold the meditation while everybody takes the Rosebud CBD. And we got so many compliments after. And I think this is a great segue into what people experience, because it is, to me, quite original. And again, I want to jump off and ask you a few questions on auras, because I think you have a very unique look at them. So kind of tell us about like, what does Aura Wear involve for the person who has a session or who experiences the brand?
Absolutely. So sessions have been a little different lately because they're virtual, but you know, I find them to be so just as powerful. But a session with me is all about, I have you fill out a questionnaire before just to kind of get a sense of what I do, you know, ask you some fun little questions about how you feel about your personal style and your experiences with readings. Because I always say Aura Wear is like, I want it to be spirituality 101. You know, I never felt like I was supposed to really just take a quick path of spirituality with it and be like, this is my path. You know, I wanted it to be modern and approachable. And I wanted it to be not, you know, not for just a specific woman, but for every woman who needed it. And so I knew it was really important that I kind of tap into all of my gifts and learn how to use them and communicate them in a way that would really assist everyone and really help them kind of boost up where they are in their moment in life with their spirituality. So I ask these questions beforehand to get a little bit of a clue where you are. I also believe energetics can live in your words and how you communicate. So it often gives me an idea of kind of like who you are before I sit in a session with you. I pick up on like personal cues with that person, and I really start to kind of like tweak my dials to make sure that, you know, I am truly holding space for them. So when you have a session with me, we sit down and it starts out very conversational. You know, it starts out with us just kind of connecting, me asking you what's going on in your life. You know, if you can use a few words to actually describe what's going on right now, what would they be? You know, and this conversation kind of just starts to open you up. And when you start to open up and you like, let me see you, my spiritual gifts start to come out and I'm able to start to kind of like take notes. And then I don't share with, especially in virtual readings, I take a lot of notes so I can really deliver that information at the right time, you know? So it's not like, oh, this is what I see or this is what I experience. And sometimes I'll have people that are super spiritual, so I'll just tell them right there off the bat, you know, like, this is what's happening. But I really try to keep it a safe place and deliver that information to you as authentically as possible. But once we get through that, I used to read auras and energy in a way that I would like have someone close their eyes. And then I would just start to reveal whatever kind of came through me. And while I like this style for me, I just could feel sometimes it was a little intense for others. And I still do it sometimes, to be honest, like I still will deliver that information in that way. But just because I built my brand off of being, you know, a safe place, that sometimes I would find people would be a little like freaked out.
Right. It could be too much. Absolutely.
It could be too much. But now that sometimes I meet people and I'm like, let's go in, let's do this, like dip down. If you're ready, I'm ready. But I also found it really powerful. I would always do a meditation and walk people through a light meditation just to kind of loosen them up and to set intentions. And I started doing a hypno like visual meditation in last year and started to see and experience colors very vividly in moments. And half the time when I would share, like the visions that I was seeing would actually align with the client's visions. And
which is what happened with us.
Yeah.
You were like, I saw red at this point. And I was like, yeah, whoa, a red rose. And that's like not a symbol I'm ever drawn to. Popped up. It was very, very synchronized.
Yeah. And and that to me right there is really what makes me believe we all are so deeply connected and that there is so much more to this electric magnetic energy that comes out of us. And, you know, connection is everything. And so really making sure that that space is safe and that space is comfortable and, you know, somewhere where people can be revealed. And it's interesting because people will come to me a lot, Lacey, and they'll be like, what's my color? Tell me my colors. And I'm like, oh, I like go back into my little tortoise shell. But our colors change in seasons and times, which was also very much the inspiration for me assigning colors to people medicinally. Now, when I assign those colors, they're not necessarily your aura colors, but they are colors I believe that you can call in and that you can use to support yourself in that season and time.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions. You know, does everybody have a primary color in their aura and then it's shifting? And how do the colors you're prescribing offset what's happening in their aura or help it?
Yeah. Again, I love to leave space for this because I'm learning so much. I've read hundreds and hundreds of people in the last 2 years. And I really was at the very beginning, I was like, everybody has a color. Everybody innately, this is the color that they are. And that's just that. Well, when I started getting clients more seasonally and more consistently, I would be like, colors are changing for you. Energy's changing for you. Whoa. And then they'd say what was going on in their life. And I'd be like, oh, okay. So I do believe we all have colors that really represent who we are and that are present with us and can be revealed to us. And people with these gifts can see and experience them. But I also believe we have control of what people see and experience from us. And, you know, it's like, that's what I really believe that physical energy is. Like when you get your aura photographed and you put your hands on those electric magnetic plates and they measure the frequency that's in your body. And though they believe the energy flows up your chakras over your left ear and out. Now, I do believe that energy tells you a lot, but I also believe that you can kind of control how people experience you on the day to day, you know, and if you're feeling really aligned with yourself, then, you know, you let your freak flag fly. But like, that's really what I want to help people do is connect to that. Now, I do believe that some of us really have dominant colors because especially when it comes to our personal style, it's like some colors I can just spot before I even emotionally dip into that person's energy. You know, I'm just like, oh, you are definitely magenta or you have lots of green energy.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, yeah, what I experienced too. And it was really, really special because you definitely brought, I'm a very tonal person and you brought a lot of colors to my attention. And what you gave me and prescribed was that I can start to bring them into meditation, bring them into my space, wear them and work with that energy. And it really resonated.
I really am big on like what colors you should be wearing each season. And I kind of joked with you about this, but I based my company off this funny company from the 80s called Color Me Beautiful. And at first it was like a joke between a girlfriend and I. She's like, oh yeah, you should like reinvent Color Me Beautiful. And that's what aura wear should be. And I was like, wait, but maybe not. Do you know Color Me Beautiful?
No, but we had the tiny conversation about it yesterday. Go ahead and explain it because I was vaguely familiar with it, but it made the world of sense what you said.
Yeah. So, okay. In the 80s, every woman was obsessed with Color Me Beautiful. And it's actually what spawned off like Avon and so many of the other like kind of these like brands that women were just like getting small little businesses from and things like that. But this woman, Carol, was actually kind of the founding woman of this company, and it's called Color Me Beautiful. And she believed that every woman fell into a season. So she believed you either fall into winter, summer, fall, or spring. And so women used to go around being like, oh, you can't wear that color. You're definitely a spring, not a fall. And people would say this stuff all the time. And I remember hearing it as a kid and being like, well, that doesn't energetically feel good. Like, but maybe that person likes that color. Like, And so it was interesting. And then they were very big on, you know, your personal style and what category you fell into. They would say things like, if you're a dramatic, then you are someone who goes to the theater and loves to have lunch with your lady friends. Or if you're a natural, then you probably work in a daycare center. And I was just like, that's all bullshit. Like, everybody's different and dynamic and interesting. And we are attracted to colors for many reasons. There's lots of psychology behind it. So I really just started to turn it on its head. I got like every book I could off eBay and I went through all of them and I was like, okay, you know what? Throw this all away because this is not what it's about. And I actually kind of left the color medicinal thing for a minute and really focused on reading energy. And through that, it was really revealed to me that, you know, okay, each season women need colors to support them. And I have a little system of activating that color that I've learned over the years. And you basically meditate around that color, depending on what you're calling in, what you're desiring, what your values are in that moment in time. And then once you've meditated on that color, you start to affirm it by saying the words that are connected to that color. And then the last step, which is essentially what AuraWare is all about, is that you take that color, you either wear it to remind yourself or to bring you signs. If having it in your space is important, whether that's like flowers or a vase or mugs or whatever it may be, but it ends up serving as either consciously or subconsciously this beautiful way to affirm the words that you've already told yourself.
I love the term that you used in your L write-up. There's a condition you call that's hot girl hangover. What is that?
Oh, yes. So a hot girl hangover is when we all are young and we're fabulous that we think we are in our heads. And we got like the perfect 20 something body and our, you know, whatever. But then we, of course, at the same time, we hate the way we look. We hate what's going on. Our lives are a wreck because everything just emotionally is happening to us. We're trying to sort out what our values are, where we're going, and even the hormonal changes that happen in our 20s. That we have to navigate. And it's so funny because you'll see women in young and they'll always have like this just head to toe looking so fly and put together sometimes. And then I'll meet these women who are like so incredibly, you know, gifted and talented and doing and running their own businesses and like so accomplished and so beautiful. But yet they're like, oh, I can never wear that. Ugh. No, I don't know what to wear. I feel like, you know, I'm just going to put on this flannel shirt kind of thing. And I jokingly coined this with one of my clients a while back. And I was like, oh, you got hot girl hangover. Like you're just hung up on old sense of self. And in fact, a new sense of self is such a badass and totally deserves the same time and attention. And we just don't put the same time and attention in ourselves. When we get older, we have responsibilities and things going on. And we are just, it's embedded in us that fashion is frivolous and silly. And maybe it comes down to a self-worth thing as well. Like you don't know, you don't think you know, you got the kids or you have to do something else and you don't feel worthy to take that time for yourself to just like play and get dressed.
I love it. I think that's a very relatable one, you know, and just kind of the overarching thing I'm hearing there too is feeling depleted probably as well,
right?
Like having the energy to even be that creative. We talked about sort of finishing in these last 10 minutes, what the session would have looked like or the end of the reading of yesterday. I'm gonna let you lead into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So once we go through the meditation and colors are revealed, we then start to really talk about what's going on in your life. Like we reveal it and we kind of share the information that we both experienced. And then I really try to help you build your own relationship with that color. And then sometimes it is the colors of your aura, your essence that we unfold, or sometimes it's just a color will come up that I think is really supportive that aligns with the emotion that you're experiencing in the meditation. And then from there, we kind of make a game plan. We start to go, okay, what are your core desires? What are you wanting? What are you seeking right now in this season? And how can I help you support that? So then we sit down. And we start to unfold what that looks like. I then start to give suggestions and ideas around, you know, specific styles that I think would really resonate just to help support. And I always say your aura and your energy, your essence is always like a fingerprint, you know. You maybe know those style books that are like, you're a boho, or you're, you know, classic, or you're a hipster, or whatever it is. It's I just think it's you're you and you like certain things for a specific reason. And if you're going through a period, you know, if you're going back to school and you're getting your doctorate or your degree or something like that, you're going to have a completely different style in that moment in time that you are when you're like CEO of a company with a team of, you know, 100. So it's just about helping you kind of navigate like, okay, how do I want to dress and express myself in this season and moment in time of my life? And so we kind of go through that. And then I do a little personal shopping for you just to kind of show you how I work. So I make you a mood board based off of the colors and energy and essence from our experiences together. So it usually has a few images in that color palette that we talked about in that session. And then I'll pull you like 5 to 6 links for different dresses and companies I love. I love supporting sustainable brands and designers. I'm huge on climate change and fashion and how we can really ultimately change the game and how we shop. A lot of people, that's one of the things they come to me about. They're like, but how do I shop sustainably? How do I start being wiser about cultivating my closet? So it's an opportunity to kind of show you that. And then extended from that, my services are, you know, closet cleanses and shopping experiences and styling sessions or packing for trips and things like that. But we are on the back end, ultimately working on some courses and things that can kind of help support you virtually if you aren't able to, you know, have an in-person session with me.
I'm going to throw out a couple of archetypes, and obviously you don't have these people in front of you, but just sort of an overarching, like the medicinal things that come up for these archetypes for the listener out there. How about somebody who comes to you that's transitioning out of, you know, a marriage or relationship, and they feel rather depleted, and they know that this is a whole new chapter for themselves. Maybe they've chosen it, maybe they haven't chosen it, their partner has. What would be some colors that come to mind and some the medicine invoked in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those are big transitions. And if you're going through, you know, any kind of thing like that, where maybe you're going to have to start dating or want to start dating again, or maybe you want to heal, first and foremost, when those kinds of moments happen in our life, I think it's our nature to kind of go within and to really just kind of reflect and to kind of figure out, okay, what is going to be my emotional game plan here? And everybody has this experience a little bit differently, you know, but ultimately, if you're feeling, you know, this is what's going on, you're feeling depleted and you're feeling discouraged. So take a big focus on just holding up that mirror and letting you be seen and experienced and really dipping into whatever's going on or what you're seeking. And it's interesting because I've had many clients like this in sessions over the years. And, you know, the journey we go through in a session from the beginning to end is always very different. And sometimes it's just about being seen and validated for what's going on in that moment in time in your life. And I mean, we have friends and family that do this for us. We have therapists that do this for us. But it's a little bit different when you have your aura stylist do this for you. Because I really want to help lift you up and let you see that, you know, this is a holistic way to experience yourself and your energy through aesthetic and how that can really support you in a way that isn't just hiding or flaunting or whatever it may be, and how you can kind of navigate that next chapter of your life.
And what colors come to mind for, say, the person who's been struggling with really low self-worth and they're finally passing tests, they're finally stepping into their power? What colors would benefit them?
One of the colors that is revealed, I always say colors have shadow sides as well. And one of the colors I always kind of see before someone starts to really hit big breaks or big moments or aha moments is green. Mm. And it's interesting because green can be such a medicinally healing color, but it's also a color that's like, it's all about justice and values. And, but then it can get its wires really crossed on like, what is right or wrong for them in that moment. And I honestly, like, I'm going to say something very controversial. You know, I think that right is really up to what's you're aligning with in that moment in time.
I agree with that too.
Yeah. And I think that we put, you know, I always call them bullshit belief systems around ourselves, like that we think are like supposed to be the way our life is supposed to be. And I think when those moments hit and you like break through them, the colors I usually see are usually like on the scale moving up, higher vibrational colors like magenta, violets, and moving all up to like reds and oranges, like just really actionable colors and very social and forward colors, like almost as if you're like coming out of your emotional shell. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. What about abundance colors? So during this time of COVID, so many are being hit financially, may it be a rock bottom. They were in a rut before that wasn't in alignment with them. So they're no longer in that. What colors would be the medicine to evoke newness and abundance?
Yeah, there's kind of a couple steps that need to happen here too. Because when we are feeling anxious or overwhelmed, we have a lot of physical vibrational energy around us and buzzy energy, right? So some of us might need more blues to kind of bring us down, to calm our nervous system and to kind of get us back in the right mindset, you know, because it, and then some of us go in a shell and don't need blues, but we need more colors like yellow to really bring us out and to expand us and let us see the joy and to feel brave and courageous in a season like this. And of course, I always say, and I talked about the shadow side of green, but green is all about growth, expansion, abundance, like calling it in. I mean, it's the color of money. So it's already subconsciously embedded in us in that sense. But, you know, it is really a color that also, like I tell women often to wear green to interviews because it's like very, it shows that you're organized and almost kind of, it kind of gives this idea off of like almost type A-esque energy, you know, very put together. And it's an energy that I often, the color I wear when I'm like going to reorganize my closet or if I'm going to like redo my space or if I have, you know, a special event I'm doing or I'm teaching or needing to be really just kind of like on point. But I would definitely say shades of blue, depending on mixed with white, sometimes can be really nurturing, pure. Shades of greens and yellow. And in between there with greens and yellows and blues is also turquoises. Turquoise is a very spiritual, very creative, just loving color that can really, I just believe, honestly, out of all of the colors, I feel like turquoise is just like the ultimate color to heal.
Interesting, because you mentioned, and I think this is a good ending point, you mentioned at the top of our session, those very three colors came up, turquoise, indigo, and green.
That's right.
Then of course, during our meditation, you also got to witness other colors in my actual aura. So the ones that were, you know, channeled and prescribed at the top were the medicine, right, that you're seeing, that I'm needing. And then during the guided hypno meditation, you saw these other colors going on in my aura. Go ahead and explain, just in a nutshell, what that all meant.
I had a sense of kind of what your colors are as personality-esque colors, right? And those are the colors like when you pick up a book from, you know, Amazon or somewhere and they're like, you fall into this category. This is your personality diagnosis, right? And while that's great, I just find us to be like fingerprints. We're all different. Everybody's energy and essence is different. And like I said, I always will be a forever student. And I know that my gifts will continue to evolve and change. And I want to leave space for that. But right now in this moment, in this season, I really believe that those colors that I kind of prescribed to you in the beginning, I did believe are kind of aligned with your essence and your aura, like who you are. And then when I did the meditation, I believe those colors that came through, like that pink and that red we experienced when I was running light through your body, you know, I told you, it had a very visceral, different feeling to it. And then you mentioned some change and things. And anyways, it was very much to me, you know, something very big for you and powerful. And I shared that with you. But then we walked through the meditation and the colors you experience with people, I really believe are more those medicinal colors that will support your energy and essence. And again, in a session, I really helped try to name those with you. And one of the things we talked about too, Lacey, was what your association was with those colors, which I think is very important as well. I'm very careful. You know, I don't want to tell you who you are. I will hold space for you. I will hold up the mirror. I will tell you what I sense and I see and experience, but I'm never going to be like, this is who you are. This is a box you belong in. I want to be able to experience you in every season of your life and help share that through the language of color.
Tell us about your workbook. You have a workbook coming out, which I can't wait to experience.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm so excited. So this workbook embodies a lot of just what basically AuraWare is all about. You know, understanding color psychology, understanding your essence and your aura, and understanding the history of your aura and energy, And I'm always, you know, I'm big on the sciencey part of it. I'm also big on the spiritual part. So it's just a mix of both in this book. It gives you journal prompts. It helps you kind of, and the first book we've actually done is based off of yellow energy. And then we're going to slowly start to roll out colors per season that, you know, we collectively at AuraWare believe are going to be the most supportive as a collective in that moment in time. So yellow energy right now, we just felt was so important with everything going on. And so the book has journal prompts and then words that obtain to that energy. And then it goes through kind of the steps of how to call in color, which is to meditate around that color, then to affirm that color with the words that align with you in that color. And then the next step is to, of course, activate it by wearing it and having it in your space. So the book walks you through all of that. It comes with a 12 to 15 minute guided meditation to kind of show you how I like to lead meditation so that you might be able to do so for yourself as well.
And how do we find you?
You can find me at AuraWareNYC.com. You can find me on Instagram at AuraWareNYC. And you can also find me, I don't know where else.
Right now, not a lot of places in person, but yeah,
exactly. You can usually find me at the Wing if you are a Wing member in New York. I'm a big Wing member fan, and I love that space. It's just so colorful and joyful, and the women there are just fantastic.
Well, thank you so, so much. And I'm so excited to hear people's feedback when they do end up either interacting with the new workbook or, of course, through session.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me and hosting me today and letting me experience your essence and your energy.
If you enjoyed this episode, definitely send it to the friend, the family member, whoever out there could benefit. That's how I garner a lot of my information, are when friends shoot over a really profound episode they've heard somewhere to me. I also want to encourage you, if you want to be entered to win a 1-year membership to The Pathway, go and leave a 5-star podcast review. We've been announcing some really cool ones and reading them off, and it's been pretty profound how already those Pathway memberships have been super instrumental to the people who have won them. We'll choose a new winner each month, so listen in here at the end of the episode to hear if you've won. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our Black and BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.